Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. In Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Here's your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Again last week, as happens so often in these climes, the weather was the chief topic of conversation. The freezing temperatures the early and middle part of the week caused considerable concern among fruit growers. The consensus of opinion seems to be, however, that the damage was not as great as was at first feared, although the exact extent of it is rather hard to estimate. In Holland, the folks are busy getting ready for tulip time. The blooms have been out for several days, but the cool weather last week held them back, and they are still a thing of beauty. Tulip time officially opens on next Wednesday. There will be many exhibits, musical events, and parades. The wooden shoe dancers and the street scrubbing will again be featured. Governor Williams is expected Wednesday afternoon, and they're planning to dress him up in a Dutch costume and make him scrub some of the streets. The big parade, Saturday afternoon at 4, is the climax of the festival. As usual, WKZO will bring its listeners several broadcasts from the festival. You might like to note down the times. Wednesday afternoon at 1:45, we'll bring you a description of the opening of the flower show. And we'll follow that at 3:45 with a broadcast from downtown Holland, presenting the sound and color of the wooden shoe dancing, the street scrubbing, and a description of the tulip lanes. Then at 3:45 Thursday, we'll tell you about the various exhibits at the Tulip Time Festival, such as the Little Netherlands and the Dutch Market. Friday at 3:45, we'll describe one of the big events, the Parade of the Provinces. And finally, at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, we'll bring you the music of the bands and a description of the big parade. To fully enjoy tulip time, however, you'd better plan to drive over there. Be sure to tour those tulip lanes and see the long rows of flowers along the curbs. The Holland Evening Sentinel last week reflected the tremendous amount of work which citizens of Holland have to put into the preparation for this big annual event. Almost every man, woman, and child wears some kind of a Dutch costume during the week of tulip time, and to get all those costumes in shape alone is a big job. Many Western Michigan cities last week were preparing their annual budgets. The Watervliet Record announced that that city will have the largest budget in its history. The Hastings Banner tells that the city council there adopted a record budget last week. It amounted to over $90,000. The Allegan News says that Allegan's budget totals almost $115,000, an increase of $2,300 over a year ago, all of which demonstrates that the increasing cost of government is not alone a national or even a state problem. It gets right down to the local level. The Greenville Daily News tells that school district voters there will decide whether to authorize a 9-mill levy for the construction of 3 elementary school buildings at a special election May 26. 5 mills had previously been voted. The proposal to be voted on May 26 will not be in addition to the 5 mills, but will include it. The ballot will ask that the millage be raised to 15. Although only 9 mills will be used. The additional millage is to provide security to bond buyers so that the bonds can be floated at a low interest rate. The Lowell Ledger and the Ionia Sentinel Standard announce an important meeting in Ionia on May 25th. It will be the first annual meeting of the Grand River Water Control Association. This association, organized last year, was instrumental, along with Congressman Gerald Ford, in securing a federal flood control survey. Colonel J. O. Colonna of the United States Army Engineers will be present at the meeting May 25th and report progress to date. The place is the Ionia City Hall, 2 p.m., May 25th. And by the way, the people of Ionia and vicinity, as well as the people in Kent and Ottawa counties, will be interested in the lawmakers program this afternoon at 4:30, when we will interview Congressman Gerald Ford of the 5th District and Congressman Fred L. Crawford of the 8th. Well, Belding's going to have a couple of new high school athletic coaches next year, according to the Belding Banner News. Coach Lloyd Osborne has accepted a coaching position at Lapeer. Ralph Cole will be the new football coach, and Lewis Perry will coach basketball. Both these men are University of Michigan graduates. Several newspapers last week carried a story telling of the organization of a new farm youth group. It's called the Michigan Chapter of the National Junior Vegetable Growers Association. This group sponsors a production marketing contest for its members. Agriculture scholarships amounting to $6,000 are provided for the winners by A&P Food Stores. Alan Olson of South Haven will serve as president of the new organization. And now, how about some of the stories in the news, Bob Tazelar?
Well, all right, Doctor. Last Sunday was Mother's Day in a very real way to a Grand Rapids family. Mrs. Joseph Snow became the mother of her fourth child, a daughter, last Sunday. Three out of the four children have been born on Mother's Day. The Elegant Gazette tells that a local merchant finally got a chance to get revenge on his automobile dealer. Seems he bought a car a while ago and had to take along with it a whole array of fancy gadgets and auxiliary equipment. Well, the other day, the automobile dealer ordered a screen door from this merchant. He sent it over to the customer's house, together with enough gadgets and gimmicks to put the price up to $75. The Nashville News provides an illustration of the power of the press. The editor writes that a while ago, the paper published a 50-year-old item telling that the Main Street Bridge was underwater. A man north of town read the item and stayed home 3 days to allow the waters to recede. The editor of the Centerville Observer ran a front-page story last week urging everyone to participate in cleanup week in the village. Then he got to looking his own place over, so he read an editorial telling folks that he had had a truck engaged to come to get the tree trunk in his yard. He said he hoped to get the lumber and assorted bric-a-brac adorning his corner out of the way by the end of the week. In the meantime, he added, "Let our yard be a horrible example to you to get busy and whisk your lot clean of rubbish and weeds before the cleanup deadline." Now, once again, Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Bob. The Coldwater Daily Reporter tells that Rubinoff and his musicians will give a concert in Coldwater next Wednesday, May 18th. And Rubinoff will bring with him to Coldwater his $100,000 Romanoff Stradivarius violin, the item says. The violin's insured, by the way. The Waterbreed Record tells of the death of a local man in church last Sunday morning. The next day, his widow gave birth to a child in a Kalamazoo hospital. The Holland Evening Sentinel tells that the local Chamber of Commerce paid tribute last week to two of the city's oldest businessmen. James A. Brower, a furniture dealer, is 95 years of age, and Albert H. Meyer, who operates a music store, is almost 91. Brower started business in Holland 2 years after the Civil War, 1867, while Meyer came along in 1872. The Three Rivers Commercial tells us that the Three Rivers American Legion members are planning another PJ celebration this summer. It will be the third, and it will last 4 days. Board of Education granted permission last week to use the school athletic field for the affair. The Three Rivers Commercial also announced plans last week for the summer recreation program in that city. It will open June 27th under the direction of Francis R. Pellegrim and will close August 20th. Four precinct elementary school playgrounds will be in operation, and a day camp at Camp Waukeshma on Corey Lake will be provided. The Marcellus News reports that work is proceeding on the leveling and lighting of the local athletic field, a project which is going to be financed by the sale of redemption bonds locally. And the Climax Crescent tells us that the new lighted athletic field in Climax will be dedicated on May the 30th. The Pawpaw Courier-Northerner reported the success of a blood plasma clinic in Van Buren County last week. A total of 185 pints of blood were obtained at South Haven and Pawpaw. This is going to provide three county hospitals with free plasma. The Pawpaw Courier-Northerner also announced that Captain W.B. Babcock, who has commanded the 5th District of the State Police with headquarters at Pawpaw since 1933, has been promoted to the rank of Staff Captain of the Uniform Division at East Lansing. During the 16 years that Captain Babcock has served at Pawpaw, he has won many friends in that community. The new commander is Lieutenant Clarence B. Miller, who comes to Pawpaw from Jackson. Well, there's quite a bit of excitement in Allegan over open letters published in the Allegan Gazette and the Allegan News last week by Edwin G. Cannon, financial secretary of the CIO union at Blood Brothers. The workers are irritated by reports that downtown merchants and some organizations hold off donations to charitable causes until they see the size of the union's check, pardon me. Periodic deductions from employees' paychecks for charitable purposes total almost $10,000 a year. They will vote next Saturday on whether to continue these deductions. Other causes of complaint were given by Cannon as follows. He cited three additional reasons for objections: that union membership was not represented on the committees, that out-of-town union members have to contribute to city funds when their own localities need boosting, and that members contribute at work and are then besieged at home and at theater for more donations. The Hastings Banner tells that a local woman, Mrs. Elmer Hobart, on April 23rd saw her mother for the first time in 50 years. When she was 5 years old, she was placed with a family who took her to live in New York. Her step-parents never divulged her background, and so it was not until recently that she discovered the whereabouts of her mother. She was in Connecticut, and Mrs. Hobart went there last month to meet her, and then she brought her back home to Hastings for a visit. But the happiness of the mother and the daughter is not quite complete. There was another daughter, Martha, who was placed with a children's aid society in 1898 and cannot be located. If we could only find my sister, says Mrs. Hobart, we'd really be a complete family again. Well, the South Haven Tribune told of 5 serious automobile accidents around South Haven last weekend. The toll was 1 dead and 8 injured. Drive carefully this weekend, won't you? The Vicksburg Commercial tells that a Vicksburg student at Michigan State College, John Brown, is going to be graduated next month with the highest scholastic average ever earned by a student at Michigan State. He's a forestry major, the son of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Brown of Vicksburg. The Charlotte Republican Tribune announced last week a new product of Wilcox Gay, a local industry which manufactures home recording equipment. This new gadget, which weighs only 27 pounds, can record from a microphone or radio on either records or tape. It's called a recordio. The Galesburg Argus notes that Wesley R. Burrell of the Galesburg High School teaching staff is the author of an article in the current issue of the Michigan Alumnus entitled James Fenimore Cooper and the Long Rifle. And now here's your announcer, Bob Tazlar, with late state news and a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday afternoon at this same time, 12:15, with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air, and what's doing in western Michigan.